Hello, everyone. Welcome to the live podcast. I'm Yahtzee Grosjean. I'm joined by Marty Sleaver, as always.
Hello.
And we got fighting games on the brain is what we've got.
Yeah.
I know I do, because I've been planning to have a look at Street Fighter VI this afternoon after
Thanks.
All this. Because I keep hearing people say that it's actually quite fun, even if you're not one of the sweaties.
Yeah, it's a fighting game made for us, the non-sweaties.
Yeah, which is certainly attractive, because I have quite a history with fighting games. I've never liked playing them.
Yeah, it feels like it's either the most niche popular genre or the most popular niche genre. I feel like it is the closest thing to being on a sort of threshold there of any genre. Yeah.
I group it with real-time strategy in that, A, I don't really get into it because it seems very technical. Seems like you have to have too many things going in your head at once that I can't handle because I'm a weak, pussy little girly man. I mean, you know, something else that's not quite as offensive. And the fighting games and strategy games both feel like they've been taken over by the sweaties in the video game world. It's only the sweaties who seem to be that interested in playing them for their actual intended gameplay experience.
Okay, so yeah, that's sort of an interesting thing because it's strange because I know the people I know who play fighting games are lumped into two categories. They are like the Caseys, where Casey is like, in Casey reviewed Street Fighter VI. He's got thousands of hours in Smash. He's like, he likes learning the ins and outs of fighting games.
Yeah,
and then I also have Smash friends.
I saw him play Smash against Jack's son when we were in Milwaukee.
Did he win? Did he pay you guys to say to not tell anyone if he lost?
No, it just sort of happened, really. We were just picking up some stuff at Jack's house. His son was there. Casey challenged him to Smash.
I like the idea that Casey challenges random people on the street at Smash.
Well, apparently that's what you do in Street Fighter.
Yeah, there you go. But I have also a lot of friends who are very casual, who play, like, literally, they'll play Madden, they'll play Call of Duty, and then they'll buy Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. So to them, it's like, it's a casual thing, and they're not getting, like, crazy online, but they buy it for, you know, a handful of different reasons that we'll get into. So that's why, to me, it always sits on that weird precipice of, like, you know, in the 90s, fighting games were massive, especially when we had an episode like a year ago or so when we talked about the arcades. Like, they were propping up the arcade industry, especially the sort of Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter rivalry.
They've always been like the quintessential couch co-op game, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. And they've always been like, you don't need to know how to play games to just hit buttons and see your people fight. And like, the rules of a fighting game on a base level are pretty simple, right?
That's how I always play. Just sort of mash and hope for the best. Usually like stumble upon one move that seems to do very well and just repeat that until I really, really annoy the person I'm playing against.
Yeah.
I had a very competitive friend who likes fighting games, and I like played a fighting game with him once. And I think in Douglas Adams' book, The Meaning of Life, where he has a bunch of comedy new words and with comedy definitions, one of the words he had, I forget what the word actually was, but the definition was to beat an expert in a game of skill by playing so appallingly that none of his established strategies work against you. And that's how I was beating this dude in this fighting game he was really good at.
There you go.
Just like going with the buttons. And I beat him once. And then like after a while, like he was like, okay, I've figured you out now. Let's play again. And I was like, no. I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire undefeated, and that really pissed him off.
So, yeah, exactly.
So that's the fun I have with fighting games. But
yeah,
as someone who's really interested in narrative design in video games, I've always been attracted to fighting games as something that's very pure in terms of characterization. It's a genre where they can't rely on anything but how a character looks, acts, talks, and moves to get you hooked. And a lot of fighting games have lent into that by having characters with elaborate looks and very like flamboyant personalities. And that's why I don't like playing them, but I actually really enjoy watching people play fighting games. And I like watching footage of people playing fighting games.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, and it seems like you can draw a line. Like, fighting games feel like the like they were the predecessor to the way when we talk about like the way characters are designed in hero shooters, you know, or mm-hmm. starting with the classes in Team Fortress, but then going all the way to you know, something like Overwatch, where like the sort of distinct look and design of a character, you could take a single look at them and you can look at their silhouette or look at like their sort of idle animation, and before even playing, in your mind you can sort of, the wheels start turning of who is this character, how do they play, like what is their role, who are the types of people who would sort of lean into a character like this, in a way that when you look at one of the classes in Team Fortress, a similar thing kind of pops up.
Yeah, like right from the beginning, Street Fighter 2. We don't talk about Street Fighter 1. There was a Street Fighter 1, but nobody remembers it. Street Fighter 2 was all about silhouettes and instant recognition of characters. Mortal Kombat, not so much. Mortal Kombat came about because they got like 3 stuntmen and got them to wear a bunch of different costumes and photograph them, and they all had basically the same build. So, you know, obviously there's no silhouette advantage when everyone's like the same ninja with a slight color palette tweak.
Yeah. But it had the titillation factor, right? It had the Mortal Kombat was able to succeed because it was like, hey, what if we just make this extremely gory and get the ire of pearl-clutching parents and politicians, and then that will make it even more popular.
But in later years, the Mortal Kombats went into full 3D. Mm-hmm. The funny thing was, they still all had basically the same body type, especially in Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah.
But I've always like sought out the NetherRealm fighters, especially in recent years, because they really lean into the character thing, because they have that thing where the characters have unique opening dialogue depending on who you're fighting against.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got the unique special attacks, the unique brutalities and fatalities, which is a big characteristic of the series.
And babyalities. Don't forget about babyalities and friendships.
That said, I do think whoever's writing the NetherRealm fighters writes them to be almost hilariously fucking lame.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always sought them out, because even though I've always reviewed them, because not because I'm into the gameplay, but because the story campaigns are always really fun to make fun of.
Yeah. Like they're probably of the big of sort of the top tier fighters, they're the ones that, especially since the Mortal Kombat 9 kind of reboot and then Injustice, they're the ones that have leaned the heaviest into really like presenting their story modes.
There's so few big fighting game franchises anymore. I get the sense maybe that's sort of changing, but fighting mm-hmm. games sort of stopped being a thing for the longest time as the video games were focused more on the single player narrative stuff of the like Uncharted era.
Yeah. And then even the rise of shooters as sort of the go-to multiplayer.
And relatedly, you know, MOBAs, hero shooters, that sort of thing.
Yeah. But it does seem like this year, I mean, so we mentioned Street Fighter VI, which released last week, to rave reviews, to it has the highest, far and away the highest concurrent players on Steam of any fighting game ever. It surpassed the next one by double. Which, I mean, for a long time, the PC was sort of a dead zone when it came to fighting games. Like, it was play on a console or you play in the arcade.
I think the sweaties have come back to it because it's one of the best platforms for using your own custom weird arcade stick controllers that the sweaties like mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah. I mean, that is also, like, when we think of one of the reasons why it might be, you know, either the biggest niche genre or the smallest mainstream genre is because it has this air of intimidation to it, right? It's intimidating to go into a game where you feel like you're bad and you're gonna play against people who are really good. Yeah, it's intimidating to go to a genre that has their own weird large plastic controllers that a lot of people use.
Like I said, I've watched a lot of footage of people playing fighting games, and it's very mm-hmm. intimidating when they crack off those incredible combos that like knock out entire health bars.
But it's exciting it is easy to read and visualize in a way that, like, when I try to watch League of Legends or Dota or something, like, it is still mumbo jumbo to me, or like a 4X game. Like, it is literally hard for me to like parse what is actually happening on screen, you know, whereas a fighting game is ostensibly a shonen anime, like a tournament arc from Dragon Ball Z or My Hero Academia. Or,
I've sort of given up on trying to get into them because, as I understand it, I mean, I've played games where the idea is to, you know, focus on the fighting engine. Dark Souls and Souls-like it, for example. It's all about seeing what the opponent is doing, anticipating it, and making a proper response.
Yeah.
And the thing with fighting games is that it's all of that, but with fractions of a second given for reaction time. And I just can't cope with that. I can't cope at that level.
Which is funny because that's what a shooter is, right? Ostensibly, but I guess
I suppose, but it's fractions of seconds combined with trying to remember all the different things you can do.
Yeah, I mean, so that's maybe the difference. As a shooter, is you have a fraction of a second to react, but what you're going to do is probably hit the mouse button or the trigger.
Shooter, you can do one thing: point at the thing and press the button. With fighting games, the average character in a fighting game, there's like 90 different things they could do at any given moment, and half of them require insane button combinations that feel like trying to break your speed record for opening your school locker door.
Yeah. But you're doing it in a dream while you're standing in jelly. It is. You mentioned the Souls games earlier, but you can't, like, there's some of the DNA of fighting games is found in other genres. You find it kind of in beat-em-ups, you find them in the spectacle fighters, as you call them.
What is a beat-em-up if not a fighting game with the one other person taken away?
Yeah, exactly. And that's even evolved into like the Yakuza games and everything. And then, like you said, even fighting a boss in a Souls game is absorbing the information and reacting to it on the fly. So there are similarities there in the same way, you know, a lot of genres share certain strands of DNA with each other. But it was interesting to look at, I looked at the 100 best-selling games, well, the approximation of the 100 best-selling games of all time, and the only fighting game on there, and some people might even argue it's not a fighting game, is Smash Ultimate.
I was going to bring that up, because wasn't it, like, literally Nintendo's intention to just make a button-mashy game where anyone could play because they could just pick their favorite character and then button-mash to victory?
Yeah.
But the sweaties wouldn't have it. the sweaties have figured out how to optimize their Smash play, even against people who just play Donkey Kong and spam the attack where he just smacks the ground and takes everything apart.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like the original Smash really had a competitive scene, but then when Melee came out for GameCube, that's when it felt like everything kind of changed. Maybe because that was also the turn of the century, was close to the rise of sort of the FGC, the internet propagating the fighting game community.
Don't Smash sweaties have a rule that they have to turn items off? Because items just randomly, sort of like Mario Kart, funnily enough.
Yeah,
sort of
Casey has that rule.
Sort of randomly grant victory to people.
Casey has that rule. Yeah. Casey will sometimes like swallow his pride and play with us with items on to appease us. But no, Casey, in a perfect world, Casey would remove all items from Smash and Mario Kart because he hates fun. Like an absolute monster. Well,
presumably,
Yeah.
Some people just think it's terribly important to demonstrate that they're the best at playing the silly button mashy game for small children.
That silly button mashy game. Oh my god, you can't say that to Smash fans. They're going to be upset with you.
I've been trying to find games I could play with my very uncoordinated 3-year-old on the Switch. Because she likes playing games, but she just can't. She just doesn't know how to hold a controller yet. She holds it with one hand and moves the stick with the other hand. And so I've been looking for things, and one of the articles I found suggested was just to play Mario Kart, because there are modes in Mario Kart where you can just turn off you can turn off needing to steer. The game will just steer for you.
Yeah. That's sort of the auto steer, and Nintendo does a good job. Like, they do a bad job of accessibility in most things, Zelda's accessibility and ability to change controls and stuff like that is pretty terrible. But they do try to make their games and allow people to have an easier go of it if you're younger.
Historically, they've been so bad at accessibility options. They won't even let you change controls in most games.
No, because Miyamoto has figured out the perfect way to control your character, and changing it would be blasphemous.
Yeah, and yet they'll just take over the steering in Mario Kart if you're under 5 years old.
You mentioned, though, how it does seem like the community was always there, but it does seem like fighting games, you know, maybe fell to the wayside in terms of being at the top of a mountain for a while. But this year is this culmination of, you know, we have Street Fighter VI. We just got the reveal of Mortal Kombat 1, which is the sort of the reboot next game in the series.
Get me started.
Are you upset at a canonical change in the Mortal Kombat timeline?
They've done this like 9 times.
Yeah.
They rebooted the timeline for Mortal Kombat 9. And that's so like all previous storyline was just in the bin.
Yeah.
And then they did it again in Mortal Kombat 11. They said, okay, we've decided to basically subtract the whole concept of continuity from the established plot altogether. Now absolutely nothing is canon because we can just say, oh, we've the timeline got reset again. It's sort of impressive that they keep doing it within the continued canon timeline instead of just, you know, saying, okay, this is completely unrelated to previous games. It's just a new thing.
Yeah.
They keep like in-universe rebooting. And it's sort of impressive, but it also means that you can't really have any stake in the plot of Mortal Kombat anymore.
I mean, it feels like it kind of makes sense that NetherRealm does the Injustice games because it's like comic books, right?
That,
a character dies
that
in a comic book and you kind of roll your eyes because you're like, well, that character is clearly not going to stay.
I've expressed that very sentiment in Zero Punctuation in the past. I was like, maybe Mortal Kombat caught some kind of disease off of the DC universe when they were doing that crossover. And now Mortal Kombat has got superhero comics disease.
Yeah. But I mean, do you like when in a fighting game, the characters are the currency, right? It is the characters are the content. And so like, are they going to be like, we've killed Scorpion, our most famous character, and he's not coming back? And it's like, well, that would be
they're not going to do that.
But it's like, is that what you want? Like, do you want the story to have like stakes?
I mean, they kill him in every game, if you want to be pedantic.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
They kill all the characters in every game. It's called Mortal Kombat. People die from it. It's funny to contrast like standard play against the story campaigns in those.
Yeah,
because the story campaigns are they like superhero comics or like Saturday morning cartoons. Everyone like has a fight for the flimsiest of possible reasons, and then they're just, oh, yeah, I'll get you next time, Sub-Zero and Scarpa.
It's great. It's perfect. We're also getting a new Tekken game this year, and so those are probably the three. Maybe along with like Soul Calibur, the three series that have been around the longest that still kind of going strong, especially in the AAA space.
Well, it certainly seems like they're coming back. Although, previously established series, I'm not sure there's much mileage in creating new fighting games.
Do you think
if someone came out with an all new one-on-one fighting game with all new roster of characters, there'd be any interest? It feels like this is a very nostalgia-fueled niche.
So it's interesting because, yes, it's nostalgia-fueled in that we'll get new entries in Dead or Alive or Virtual Fighter or these series that have been long around forever. Or when we get a new fighting game, it is tethered to a known property, which is what happens a lot. And it happened a lot even like when I was growing up and I'd rent a bunch of fighting games. It would be like, here's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Tournament Fighter, and here's the Star Wars Masters of Tarascasi, which is a very bad fighter, or here was Air Guys, which was Square Enix making a fighting game, but being like, we'll put a lot of Final Fantasy VII characters in there.
It seems like you always have to do that. I mean, you always got to like sort of draw people in with characters you know. Even shit like Soul Calibur would like cross over with Star Wars and Assassin's Creed.
Sure.
And Mortal Kombat is like the king of crossovers. They had like Mortal Kombat 10 had every horror character that would return their phone calls.
And Mortal Kombat 11 has
RoboCop and fucking Rambo and
like the Xenomorph, and then the rumors of the new game are having like Homelander from The Boys and Peacemaker from the show.
So it's like, they brought in Spawn in Mortal Kombat 11. Who the fuck's thought about Spawn in the last 15 years?
He was also in Street Era and Soul Calibur 2. Spawn's really gotten his way around. Yeah,
he's got to get along somewhere.
I mean, I don't know. It got me to buy the GameCube version of Soul Calibur 2 was because Link was in it. And then I think Soul Calibur 3 had like Yoda or Darth Vader in it. And so it's like a very... I don't know. There is something, I guess, exciting about being like, I know that character. I could be that character and show.
Well, like
that
I said, it's an almost purely character-based experience. So it's fun to see a character we recognize in that context.
Yeah, and so you get entire franchises that are based on that. Like most big anime have like, you know, fighting anime. You have the Dragon Ball Z games have gotten fighting games. Demon Slayer has gotten fighting games.
There was a One Punch Man fighting game.
He just punched once. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, easy peasy. And then obviously one of the most beloved ones, at least in my memory, was Marvel vs. Capcom, because that was just vomiting a bunch of characters that I could Brad Pitt point at and be like, I know them from comics, or I know them from Mega Man.
This is an internet fun fact that's very vintage. But did you know there is a Japanese Les Miserables fighting game?
Get the fuck out of here.
Yes, it's called Armjo. It's some kind of Japanese pun. And you can play as Jean Valjean, you can play as Javert, you can play as a robot version of Jean Valjean. You can play as the Thénardiers, you can play as Eponine.
Why?
Because Les Miserables is really big in Japan.
Is it really?
Yeah, they love it.
Okay, that's great. I like Les Miserables.
There is a weird connection between Japan and classic French literature. They love Les Miserables. They pay tribute to Arsène Lupin with Arsène Lupin the Third.
Yeah.
Half the characters in the Persona games are like based on works of French literature.
There's two types of people in the world. When they hear Arsène Lupin, they either think of Lupin the Third or they think of Persona 5. Shout out to Persona 5.
Or they think of the original Arsène Lupin books.
Nerds. No, only two in my book.
He like crossed
Persona over. Also got its fighting games, though.
He was one of the original pop culture crossovers. There was a Sherlock Holmes Arsène Lupin crossover back in the day.
That makes sense. They're both trying to solve mysteries. I can get that.
No, Arsène Lupin was a master thief.
Oh yeah.
They were working against each other, you see.
It was like a spy versus spy kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah. So it's weird. The Japanese just really like pulp French literature from like the 19th century.
I'm taken aback by that. That is pretty incredible. I'm gonna now search that game out.
There you go.
But then they've also there's a history of trying to tether a game to a property and it sort of kind of failing, like Sonic Fighters. I don't think anyone's lining up the gates to play Sonic Fighters. I mentioned Masters of Terrascasi, the Star Wars one, which was a massive failure. Do you remember the Castlevania fighting game for Wii?
I know of it. I've got an even stupider example. Did you know there was a Fight Club one-on-one fighting game?
Oh, yeah, and Fred Durst was an unlockable character.
Yes, and every other character was just a shirtless dude.
Yeah, because that movie is just a bunch of shirtless incels.
The really hilarious thing was that they couldn't get likeness rights for any of the actual actors that were in Fight Club.
Brad Pitt's not going to be in that game.
No. So like, Brad Pitt and Edward Norton's characters were just a generic shirtless dude.
That's pretty incredible.
But it was one of the first fighting games to have X-ray attacks, with the Mortal Kombat as main payoff.
Yeah, yeah.
You actually got to see bone snapping if you're into that.
Do you think the Mortal Kombat games have ever gone too far in terms of, like, we need to censor them? But do you think there's a point in Mortal Kombat games where you're like, all right, this is, like, a little too much for me to handle? Actually, I haven't gotten there yet. I know some people who have.
That crossed my mind when I was watching the Mortal Kombat 1 trailer. And I was like, this gore just isn't fun anymore.
Yeah, it seems mean.
Yeah, like, it's just gross. It just looks realistic. And you hear these stories about the artists at NetherRealm having to undergo therapy for PTSD. Because they had to like do a whole lot of research and look at actual like death videos to be able to replicate actual gore that looks like real life.
You don't need to do that.
I guess the fighting games that don't work, like Fight Club, like Sonic, in franchises where the characters just aren't distinct enough to survive in the environment where it's all characters all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing about Sonic is everyone's kind of like a fast little rodent. And so,
yeah, it's just a dude. It's just a sort of weird homunculus thing that has a one detail change to indicate what species it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we also just don't get, even in that period, like in the kind of the Super Nintendo, maybe the PS2 era, so that mid to late 90s, it felt like they tried to throw a lot of shit at the wall and to see what sticks. And a lot of things didn't stick, like Clay Fighter, which was just sort of like a weird, absurdist comedy.
Well, people remember
Primal
it.
Rage, which was dinosaurs. And,
yeah.
Bushido Blade, which was interesting, which was the sort
that
was of...
the one that had the sort of realistic response to getting hit with a sword in that. You could one-hit kill most characters.
Pretty much. And so it was like a fighting game where like literally every move mattered, which I know is probably every fighting game. But I always found that really interesting. I have a question for you. How come fighting games seem like one of the rare examples where they haven't really permeated the indie scene? Like there are some, things like Skullgirls and them's fighting herds and like Divekick and Nidhogg. It doesn't seem like we've gotten like sort of the like, oh my God, the indie boom of fighting games.
I think the simple answer, and no offense to my indie peers here, is that they're kind of hard to make.
Sure.
Because if you can't get by with really solid design, you need to look good.
Yeah.
And most of them have both really solid design and look really good. Like, they've got top-tier, like, world-class animators working on them.
Yeah.
Especially the Japanese ones. I was like, you know, it being my habit, I was watching some footage of Guilty Gear games last night. And knowing absolutely nothing about that game, the story, or its characters, I'm hooked.
Those characters look fucking awesome.
They look amazing. I love watching it.
They're the coolest characters. Yeah.
I was watching a compilation list of every character's reaction to like this one specific character's instant kill attack, which is where they have like this Grim Reaper ghost hovering next to them, and the Grim Reaper ghost like fires a missile at the opponent. But the character sort of shoves the Grim Reaper out of the way at the last moment, and the missile just misses and it goes past them, and then this fucking like nuclear mushroom cloud goes off behind them, and the character just sort of looks terrified and then goes, just puts their hands up, and the word surrendered appears in like big letters.
How cool is that? Like, that seems like there's no idea that's off the board in a thing like that.
And you all have the characters
that are like size of the screen, characters that are tiny, characters that are two characters.
Every character looks like they're having fun, and there's lots of like fun, silly animations. Mm-hmm. Like, one of them is just like a doctor with a paper bag on his head.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's intriguing. Why has that doctor got a paper bag on his head? Why is he like 9 feet tall?
Yeah, Guilty Gear might have like a top tier character design of like any game over the last 20 years. It is pretty incredible.
I would absolutely not dispute that. Yeah. I would. Yeah. Really like puts Mortal Kombat to shame.
Well, we got a bunch of different colored ninjas.
Do you like the yellow ninja best or the blue ninja best?
I like the green ninja because he's
you're one of those edgy types.
Yeah,
you like the green ninja.
He's a lizard under his mask when he pulls his mask off.
Ah, but have you considered purple ninja?
Oh no! Oh, this is incredible. This is when we start getting real deep. Do you think there's a? Are there like properties do you think that you're like, how have we not gotten a fighting game based on X? Because we talked about how many things have had fighting games, including like every Nintendo franchise, if you pile them under, Smash. But like, is there something that's kind of like begging to be fighted?
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe like some kind of crossover fighter where all the characters are famous characters from newspaper comics or something.
Okay, yeah. That would almost be like a platform fighter. Like, yeah.
I only say that because I want to see a fighting game with Modesty Blaze in it.
That's really all you want. That's all you need.
I just really like Modesty Blaze.
Yeah.
I mean, most newspaper comics are kind of lame, but,
yeah,
you know, Modesty Blaze is an amazing piece of literature.
What's Modesty Blaze? What's their whole thing? I don't know who that is.
It's a old British like serial strip about this lady who used to be like this super crime lord, super super competent crime lord, and her main henchman, and they tried to retire but they got too bored, so now they fight crime.
Okay.
And they like that. And they're like super spies, and they're incredibly competent, and they work together as an incredibly well-oiled machine. I once said it described as competence porn. Which is one thing.
I like seeing things about people who are good at their jobs.
Yeah.
It's movies about people who are good at their jobs, procedurals.
Yeah. And there's this running gag where every time they go up against a criminal organization, some of the lower level mooks will hear that they're up against Modesty Blaze and they'll just go, you know what, I'm out.
Yeah.
And just leave. And it's always fun when it happens.
That sounds great.
And I really like the way the characters are written because there's the two leads are this crime lord lady and her main henchman. And they're written as absolutely devoted to each other and functioning incredibly well as a team. But their relationship is completely asexual and aromantic.
Oh, that's nice.
They're just totally dependent on each other, but with no romance or sex between them.
Yeah,
and it's not like they're like completely asexual characters, because both of them like have it off with, you know, every guest character of the week all the time. They both have like strings of lovers, but they never get it together. And I think it's really effective the way they very specifically do not.
That's perfect.
It makes quite an intriguing dynamic between the two. But I could talk about Modesty Blaze all day. And we're talking about fighting games.
Topic. Move over, Summer Game Fest. We're talking about Modesty
Blaze. Someone make a Modesty Blaze video game so I can talk about it some more.
But make sure it's good, because your heart couldn't take a bad one.
There you go.
I have some things to say. Do you wanna go to see? We have a lot of super chats and a lot of things I was gonna.
To move on from the Modesty Blaze thing, what would be your number one character you'd want to see as a fighting game character?
Okay, well, I'm gonna do two cheats in terms of worlds. I want them to do a Square one, a Final Fantasy one again, or maybe a Squaresoft RPG one again. Like Air Guys wasn't cutting it. So I want a fighting game that has all my Final Fantasy friends and all my Chrono Trigger friends, and I want Aya Brea from Parasite Eve to shoot people with a gun. That would be nice. And then, you know who would be cool in fighting games? Pretty much a ton of FromSoft bosses. FromSoft bosses and characters. Like I'm thinking about Artorias. I'm thinking about...
FromSoft fighting game. Yeah, I can see that. That would probably do pretty fucking well.
I'm curious if they'll ever... you know, like the Soul series is owned by Namco. I'm wondering if they would, and Namco does a lot of fighting games. I'm wondering if they will ever guest in a fighting game, you know, at the very least. I don't know who like the most recognizable FromSoft characters, if it's Artorias,
you know,
it's
Alenia. It's hard to picture, just because when you're talking about fighting games, it feels weird to say this, but it's hard to take a character seriously when they're in a fighting game. It's sort of, because they always have to be so expressive and characterful.
Yeah. And FromSoft characters never kind of like take the piss out of themselves.
No, they're always just... I mean, there's a sort of an inherent absurdity to fighting games, especially in NetherRealm fighters, because they like moved past the concept of it's just a fighting tournament in terms of plot a long time ago, but they still don't explain why these characters still fight exclusively in rounds of best 2 out of 3 in a very formalized setting.
Because there's
when
rules.
They just casually decide to get in a punch up for no reason while in the middle of something else.
I want to patch it. I want patches in a fighting game. Not patches like patching a fighting game, but patches.
But I suppose the visibility of like the formality of fighting sort of undermines any attempt at seriousness, if you see what I mean. The fact that you always got to have the announcer going, fight.
And you line up and you can't throw a punch until they say so. There's like there's almost like a sport-like rule set to it.
Yeah, and it has to be best 2 out of 3, and there has to be like a timer. There's an inherent fourth wall break immediately, because it has to have all the rigging, as it were, of like a boxing match.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'm just picturing running into a boss arena in a FromSoft game with the camera panning to the side, and everyone has to stay put.
Yeah, everyone has to take position.
Yeah,
so then you both like do your opening animation and take it in turns to do your opening animation to greet each other.
Yeah, and then you have to fight the gaping dragon. Yeah,
it's like pro wrestling. You know, everyone's got their come out music. Everyone's got their gimmicks.
Speaking of games that feel like a sort of. An appendage of fighting games, wrestling games. We're like,
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, stop me if this isn't the first one. I just scrolled to the top of the chat as usual. Heisco gives $9.99.
No, we have a couple beforehand. You want me to go over those?
You knock those out.
Okay, Teldrin Wen with a $20 dono. Thank you so much. Just wanted to pop in with an off-topic comment, but Genkutsuo is my partner's favorite adaptation of their favorite book, and it really made their day when I showed them that my favorite video game critic appreciates it so much.
Hmm. Yes, I talked about that in my extra punctuation on the anime is what I like.
That was the Count of Monte Cristo one, right?
Yeah, speaking of Japanese people who like pulp French literature...
That wasn't off topic at all. That's incredible. That was actually on topic.
Yeah, before we even brought it up.
Incredible. That is really funny. Thank you so much for the donation. 180 and welcome to Early Access. Oh, and as a reminder to everyone, if you sign up now for our $5 plan on Patreon, you get not only do you get Early Access, but you get bonus content. You get everything sponsor free.
Yeah, we never have to go through that shit again.
Yeah, so at $5, everything sponsor free, and then soon you will get everything on the website ad free as well. So there you go. So be a patron and be a supporter like I-80 and. And then Gary Davies with a £5 dono. Thank you so much. Death and the Return of Superman was my favorite fighting game, probably because of my past love of the IP, the comic and story itself, and Streets of Rage. That was an interesting one because that was a beat-em-up, which some people do consider fighting games. So
yeah, DC Universe like Fighters go way before MK versus DC.
Yeah, yeah. That was an interesting one too, Gary. That was Blizzard. That was a rare Blizzard console beat 'em up.
It's fun. There is a clear link between fighting games and superheroes because, of course, Marvel versus Capcom figured it out first. And I always felt DK versus not DK. That's a different thing entirely. DC versus MK was a sort of reaction to Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny.
They did all right out of it. Who can we hook up with? And like DC was like, hey, look at my new girlfriend, jealous.
Yeah. that's pretty much it. Honestly, spot on. I'm now at Heisco. Is that
okay? £9.99 and says, can't make it live. Blimey, this was even before we started. Yeah. Don't tend to get good in fighting games. I do enjoy them for the single player and even for the lore stroke nonsense of it all. Be interested of your thoughts and wish you all a great day. Well, as we were saying, yes. I'm obviously more into it for the lore and the character nonsense, not so much the playing of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you especially. I mean, the nature of zero punctuation, you don't have the time to get good.
No, no. I mean, barely have time to get through the story campaigns these days, especially the ones like fucking God of War Ragnarok. Yep. So, yes, definitely don't have time to master every single game that comes along.
Also, the Two Trooper, or the Trooper, thank you for subbing on Prime. Appreciate it, Trooper.
You know, as well as all the quick reaction stuff, it feels like every fighting game you have to learn a whole different set of button combinations. And with things like shooters and, you know, Souls-likes and action adventures, most of them will have a control system very much like a game you've played before.
Yeah.
So you can I can have mastery of, say, games where you can have a light attack and a heavy attack and a dodge and a block. Mm-hmm. But every fighting game changes the buttons around for every single character. I can't learn all that. It feels like you should just give every character the same button combinations for their individual special moves, but apparently people wouldn't like that. No, we have to make it needlessly complicated to learn.
Yeah, I always liked when you were playing a Tony Hawk game, you could go in and change the combination of buttons you needed to press for specific super moves. And I would just always do up, up, and then the button. Because, like, instead of having to remember what it was, I'd be like, well, up, up, square is going to do something cool. Up, up, triangle is going to do something cool. And up, up, circle is going to do something cool. And Casey said there's a similar thing in, I think it's called Modern Controls in Street Fighter VI, to where you are able to sort of make it so instead of doing half circle, up, square, you can kind of just do a direction and a button.
That sounds like the sort of thing I want.
Yeah, so there you go.
Street Fighter. Is what I want. I'll use that then.
Yeah.
When I start on it this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Liam Bunny gives $5 and says, Intercourse, marry, kill, Shodan, GLaDOS, and AM.
Who's AM?
AM is the evil supercomputer from I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Oh, gotcha. GLaDOS is my favorite. Shodan's my least favorite.
But does
favorite.
That mean you would shag them or marry them?
I would marry GLaDOS because they're at least very funny and clever, and that would be funny to be married to someone like GLaDOS.
Okay. Shag Shodan. Kill Shodan. And then presumably get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, exactly. And then I would make love to the AI from I Have No Mouth, But I Must Scream.
That's the most dangerous of the lot. Yeah, definitely kill Am. He's a psycho. Anyway, Alex Armstrong gives $10 and says, missed last Sonic something else, so asking here. Though Sonic 06 is known as one of the worst games, thoughts on it getting a redemption of sorts via the fan game Project 06, proving it wasn't flawed from conception. This is the game where Sonic snogs a human lady, right? Yeah, no fan patch is going to fix that, Alex Armstrong.
Yeah, I mean, you could fix like the jankiness of the mechanics and the level design and the physics of the world.
Yes, but there's no getting away from the fact that no one wants to see Sonic the Hedgehog getting his little furry leg over a human teenage girl.
Yeah. And yeah, you would need to like address the inherent like over-seriousness that the game and a lot of Sonic things take themselves with.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with Sonic 2006.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. Alex Armstrong gives $2 and says, also worst game ever via intention is Hong Kong 97. I've never played that or know anything about it.
Is this going to be like a Custer's Revenge?
I can't imagine anything being much worse than Custer's Revenge in terms of intention.
Yeah. No, it just looks like we got Bruce Lee doing a kick on the cover.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it was a satire of it. I think it was meant to be bad. It was made in 2 days.
Oh, okay.
Someone makes a game in 2 days. That's not...
Well, people who are at 48 hour game jams, for one.
Yeah.
Dr. Zebra, member for 5 months in early access, says it's zebra, not zebra. I hate to say you're wrong, Dr. Zebra, but, you know, if someone spelled Jennifer with an E instead of an I, I'd tell them they were wrong, too.
Yeah.
Even Shout if they zebras, insisted though. It was their name.
There you go. Also over in Titch, Thrash Gordon subscribed on Prime, but I remember for 3 months, and said Nidhogg 2 was a nicely simple fighter with a tug of war point mechanic that could make it very intense. Did you ever play Nidhogg?
Yeah, I played a bit of Nidhogg. Nice, straightforward one-on-one sword dueling game, just based around like having.
And I like how there was the tug of war of like you need to get over X amount of screens, and so there's sort of this like you know exactly where you are in a match. I like that. Mm. I think that's neat.
Michael Wolf, member for 37 months, says, Yahtzee and Marty, what is game for this week? Zero punctuation. And what do you think of Street Fighter 6? This week's zero punctuation is on Lord of the Rings Gollum, and I haven't played any Street Fighter 6 yet. I'm starting on it this afternoon, as I keep saying.
Both are precious. That was a little precious joke for you. I played a little bit of Street Fighter 6. I'm excited to play more, although I don't know how much time I'm going to be able to put in. There's a lot of games coming out now. I bought Diablo and I haven't touched it yet. Mm. We got Final Fantasies coming in like 2 weeks. There's just a lot going on.
I've been meaning to get back into the System Shock remake. I played it a bit, got to like the second level, then I got lost and forgot what I was supposed to be doing. So maybe I'll start again on one of the difficulty settings where they give you an objective marker.
You were playing on difficulty without an objective marker?
Well, I wanted the classic experience, you know?
Sure, yeah. That seems to be getting pretty good reviews. It seems like people are enjoying that.
Yeah, it's going down pretty well. But, like, nostalgia-based, maybe. Although maybe it's just that people miss the more classical design of video games.
Sure.
Vactor, a member for 36 months in early access, says, Toasty, in reference to the Mortal Kombat running gag, I assume.
Toasty!
And Liam Bunny gives $5 and says, Ryan B. says Guilty Gear is one of the greatest examples of immersion storytelling. Agree, stroke, disagree. I'll agree. It's certainly impressive from what I watched of it. I still haven't like looked up what the actual plot of the game is, and I kind of don't want to. No. I feel like it would ruin it for me.
Yeah.
I just want to watch more animations of anime characters, really, really weirdly over-designed anime characters doing funny things.
Yeah, they put so much work into it.
Yeah. John Connor, member for 15 months in Tipjar. Have you played any Guilty Gear games, by the way?
I've played like 20 minutes of Guilty Gear Strive, the most recent one.
I haven't played any of them. And again, I kind of don't want to because it would probably spoil the mystique at this point of just watching the videos of the instant kills on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, I've played all of both the Persona 4 fighting games, Arena and Arena Ultimax, which are also by the same developer, Arc System Works, so I think they play relatively similar. But those Persona ones are, again, examples of I played them only because I really like Persona, and it's more story of Persona, and it has the voice actors and everything. And that's kind of, I was the same way with like those Musou games. Like, I've never played Dynasty Warriors or anything, but I played the Persona ones and the Zelda ones because I like Persona and Zelda.
Feels like there can't be much visual personality mileage because every character is just someone who goes to a school.
In Persona, yeah, they sort of combine it with you summon your persona as well, right, so it's kind of like dual nature.
Okay. Zaratha, gives $550 and says, "Believe me, since MK9, its story has been a matter of crazy debate on its presentation and failures. Let me explain." No, I won't. It's not that hard to understand, Zerath. They just keep rebooting the timeline. And I was disappointed after when they did it in MK11, because I thought MK10 was actually taking some interesting strides for the series. There was a bunch of brand new characters. There was a bunch of new story that's been like a time jump of like 20 years. There was like Johnny Cage's kid was a character now. The plot actually gained a certain amount of nuance. Like Outworld wasn't just a place where evil things happen. It was like just an alternative realm where society was a little bit more feudal. I thought that was interesting. Then MK11, they were like, no, all in the bin. Aaron Black's just a generic cowboy now.
I wonder what do hardcore fans of the Mortal Kombat lore want? Like, do they want permanent change?
What a hardcore fan of the Mortal Kombat lore looks like at this point.
They've had their spine ripped out of their sockets.
But I'm particularly mad about Aaron Black, because in Mortal Kombat 10, he was a really interesting new character. He was like a dude who was like an Old West gunslinger who traveled to Outworld in like the 19th century and had stayed there and had sort of gone a bit native. So, and he looked like how you'd expect. He was like a bounty hunter dude who had some Outworld things to his design and just a little bit of Old West to his design. He was between the two. And then in MK11, he was just a cowboy.
Yeah.
They threw away the stuck between two worlds aspect of the character, which I was annoyed to see.
Yeah, that's a little... Yeah. Do they also, does Mortal Kombat, lean heavily into the alternate costumes? Street Fighter characters have, costumes and stuff.
Fucking NetherRealm fighters are all about the cosmetics these days. So you got 19,000 different costumes, but they're all basically the same look. It's just man dressed as a cowboy. Although this one's got a yellow scarf and this one's got a green one. Fuck off, NetherRealm.
Big fan of man dressed as a cowboy. Also, we had John Connor in the tip jar. Thank you so much, John. Said shout out to BlazBlue Central Fiction. BlazBlue's another one of those series that I've never gotten into. I think that's also an arc system works. It's similar to Guilty Gear and Persona. And I think Central Fiction was a visual novel, I want to say.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Dr. Zebra gives $2 and says, "Happy Pride Month, goobers."
Aww.
Sure is.
Thanks, Dr. Zebra.
Have pride in things this month and every month, I'd say.
There you go.
Jack Manson gives $5 and says, "The Scorpion movie was a lot of fun." Notice I didn't say good. Was there a movie just about Scorpion?
I don't know if Jack means the most recent Mortal Kombat movie, which Scorpion was like a main character, wasn't the
Scorpion
movie.
There's been a bunch of animated Mortal Kombat movies. Maybe
there have been a lot of animated ones. Yeah.
That was one of those.
Yeah, it's funny. For a long time, too, that original mid-90s Mortal Kombat movie was sort of the only good video game adaptation a lot of people would point to.
Well, they kind of cheated because they just ripped off the plot of Enter the Dragon.
It was legitimately just that, yeah.
Yeah, it was just Enter the Dragon with Mortal Kombat characters based over it. And Christopher Lambert having what seemed like a really good time playing Raiden.
Yeah.
Something about playing main dudes in... fighting game based movies where you can really get good performances out of people and they seem to be having a good time. Yeah, Raul, you know what I'm thinking of, don't you?
You get a Raul?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Raul Julia in the Street Fighter movie.
What
the only reason to watch that film.
Yep.
Adim Channel, welcome to Tip Jar.
Thank you, Adim Channel.
And then Herb4NM gives 25 PLNs and says, "I find fighting games fun up until the moment someone starts talking recovery frames being plus on block and damage scaling, then I just lose." I still don't know what... I mean, what's a fucking bounce cancel? Bounce cancel, I still don't know. I know what anti-air is. I figured that out.
There you go.
That's attacks that work on people who are jumping.
Yeah. Because that's just right in the name, so we're able to figure that out.
It's just, lingo.
Yeah.
It happens everywhere, in every field of endeavor. People make up new words so they can separate the sweaties from everybody else.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of how Summer Games Done Quick was just held, and I watched a couple speedruns of games that I love. And even the games I think I know really well, I see people run, and the way they talk about them, I'm like, oh, I don't know this game well at all. And it's like that, but fighting games, everyone who's good at fighting games talks to them the same way.
Yeah, well, it's good that there's agreed upon dialect, I suppose.
There you go.
Nick the OG gives $2 and says, Les Mis fighting game. Can I unlock Susan Boyle?
No, Susan Boyle?
She was that lady who was like some amateur singer who knocked everyone's socks off in the one of them televised singing competitions, singing a song from Les Mis. No, the fighting game, it's like pretty retro now. It's like a 2D pixel art thing. And I don't think it was ever finished. Like the build got leaked somehow.
Oh, but I was definitely picturing it looking like Guilty Gear.
But it's a fun little thing to look up if you're interested. Yeah. I think there's a fair bit of gameplay online. It does feel like a very unfinished game. Scavenger gives $10 and says, I always feel the need to do a shout out for Project X Zone 1 and 2, which had a massive cast, was a combination of fighting game and RTS game, and had a really fun story. My two bugbears come together at last. Fighting games and RTS games. That game must have the sweatiest of the sweaties.
But it has the, I think it was Capcom and Namco. I think that's like, it was those characters, Capcom characters and Namco characters. It was also a monolith, developed by Monolith.
So it was one of them big crossover events, was it?
Yep.
How do you combine fighting game and RTS?
I never actually played it. When characters met on the battlefield, they would fight. I actually don't know. I only know the game existed, and I just knew that there was a bunch of characters that I recognized in it.
All right then, BS Marsh, remember for 36 months. Ooh, that's a long time. It says when you say Lupin, I only think of the 1983 Laserdisc game Cliffhanger. Also, I hope Marty had a happy birthday. Yes, I remember that. That was a Laserdisc game that used footage from Miyazaki's Lupin the Third film, Castle Cagliostro.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know they made a Laserdisc game based on it.
Yeah, back when CDs and Laserdiscs were a thing and everyone just started making shitty choose-your-own-adventure stories, they used a lot of FMV footage.
Oh my god, now I'm very interested. I thought the only Cliffhanger game was based on the Sylvester Stallone movie Cliffhanger, and I played that game, and it was not a very good game.
No, it was also another thing.
Yeah.
Alex Armstrong gives $5 and says, Smash game with Yahtzee's OCs. Robin Paul, Trilby, Tall Man, Chris Quinn, Scholar, 1213, Elaborate Gesture, Jacques McKeown, and Victor and Adam from Dida. Oh boy, let's see who understands all of those references.
Why was Jacques McKeown in quotation marks? Is that not their name?
Well, you need to read the books.
Okay. Intrigue.
Spoiler alert, yes, the person who is most frequently known as Jacques McKeown in the Jacques McKeown books isn't actually Jacques McKeown.
Incredible.
But yes, I certainly have made up a lot of characters, and there'll be a lot more when Starstruck Vagabond comes out.
Ooh.
9 to be precise, the 9 crew members. I suppose a fighting game out of those 9 might be fun, because they're all very distinct characters I've worked very hard on.
There you go.
They've all got different unique looks and personality types. One of them's got a teddy bear for a head.
Aww.
Alex Armstrong gives $2 and says, oh, and Derek Badger too. That would be awesome. Another of my characters. He was in a game I made called Poacher. He was a dude with a shotgun.
There you go.
John Connor gives $5.50, Canadian, and says, Idle Showdown is an indie fighting game with VTubers made by a rabid fan. It's actually pretty good.
Made by a rabid fan. I don't know why, but the idea of made by a rabid fan sounds scary to me.
See, when fan bases get big enough, every now and again, you'll find these people who are somehow incredibly good animators or game designers making really good fan games that you just weep for, because you know they can never make any fucking money from them, and they just do them out of pure love for their thing.
Yeah,
there's a couple. I mean, I think the Sonic the Hedgehog fan base is like the example of this. There's a ton of incredibly well-made Sonic fan games that will never be able to make any money for the poor bastards who've sunk so much work into them. And I think that's tragic. Like,
at least have you heard of, not like Nintendo and just being litigious against all of them.
Have you heard of the Spark the Electric Jester games?
Yep.
Those were all made by a huge Sonic fan who started out making...
Really?
Yeah, who started out making Sonic fan games, and they were really good. And you'd want him to actually make some money from them. And good thing that he went on to his own franchise that apparently is making him money, because he's onto his... I think they're up to three games now, the Spark the Electric Jester series.
I bought the third one, and people seem to really enjoy it.
I played a bit of the third one. I didn't really get into it.
I bought it because a lot of people said it felt like the best of old Sonic Adventure, and that was when I was getting into Sonic Adventure, and I bought it, and I also didn't get into it.
That's not a high bar to clear, though, is it?
Yeah, but I had Stockholm Syndrome from playing Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 back-to-back, and I was really liking them.
There you go. Guy on Couch gives 275-somethings. And says, fighting games drop off because they quickly become pure Ludo due to lacking solo content, and eventually everyone hits a wall that requires way more effort than most are willing to give to overcome. You know why fighting games might be big again? It's probably because people are genuinely making a lot of money from being really good at them.
Sure. Yeah.
Tournaments, they're huge these days.
Yeah,
with online services, anyone can be a world-class Street Fighter player if they put the practice in.
As long as your game has on a rollback netcode. That's another one of those things. Rollback netcode.
I never heard anything being referred to as pure Ludo. I'm assuming in reference to Ludo narrative dissonance.
I thought they meant the word meta and use Ludo instead.
No.
Like how games become about the meta and about the small tweaks.
I think what he's saying is that it's become more about gameplay than narrative. Because, you know... Ludo narrative.
Yeah.
The prefix Ludo just means related to games.
Mm-hmm.
There's that game, that board game that's called Ludo. It's Latin that literally means I play.
Oh.
Did you know Fido, the generic dog name, is also Latin?
I did not know that.
It means I have faith.
Did you know Ludo Chris is a rapper? Ludicrous.
I feel like you're not bringing the fun facts at my level, Marty.
I think my fun fact was great.
I feel like you need to get up to my fun fact level.
I've already pitched Ludo Narrative Dissonance, which is Ludicrous and Clint Hocking talking about video game design. So, what else do you guys want from me?
Well, moving on. Scavenger gives $5 and says, indie fighting games tend to be devoted to people looking for waifus. See Melty Blood, Fate's Day Night, Fight Crab, Them's Fighting Herds. Wait. Well, that's one thing I did notice watching Guilty Gear footage is that there's a lot of jiggly boobs in that.
Sure, yeah. I don't like that there's a game called Melty Blood. I think Melty Blood is a bad name for game.
Well, that's undisputable. But I think...
Yeah, Melty Blood is bad.
I think fighting games tend to lean towards sexy outfits for the female characters for the same reason superheroes do. It's all about showing people at the peak of their physical... abilities and sort of wearing skin tight outfits and looking hot sort of goes with that. Goes together with that. Olympic Villages, apparently they're fuck central from what I understand.
Yeah.
And they just can't keep up with the condom demand most times.
Condoms up the wazoo.
Apparently.
Especially Cammy in this new Street Fighter game, people on the internet are.
Yeah, holy Moses. I've been looking at the footage very closely. Don't you worry.
I'm studying it. It's for research.
You know, in all fairness, the men are all depicted as super hot, unrealistically muscular types as well. It's all fantasy. It's all fantasy bodies for both the boys and the girls. Everyone's got something they can fantasize over in the fighting games.
And then a series like Tekken is brave enough to bring in things like dinosaurs and anthropomorphic wooden beams.
And bears.
Yeah. And bears.
People who are into bears.
Like literal large bears.
Just a fucking bear. Literally just a bear. But yeah,
I played a lot of Tekken 3 on the PS1, and I liked all the strange characters. Little dino named Gon.
I remember when Mortal Kombat dude saying they were going to stop putting their female characters in bikinis. Well, they kept them in high heels, I noticed.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't realistic. But I was like, no, play to your strengths, Mortal Kombat. This is what fighting games are about. I mean, the men are all like muscular, and there's big beefy bear men, but there's also willowy effete men, if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
And there's a full man platter in most fighting games, especially anime ones. Don't be ashamed of your sexy ladies as well. That's what I say.
Even Smash. Smash was where we found out about Solid Snake's nice ass.
Oh, well, we'd always known about that.
That's true. He didn't have a nice ass.
Some of us paid
PS1.
Attention when we were playing Metal Gear Solid 4.
He had that like tight old man ass, but he wasn't really an old man. It was just a man on machines.
Taking every opportunity to flex it for the camera.
Yeah.
Zaratha gives... just remember that one animation in Metal Gear Solid 4 where if you lie prostrate on the ground and move forward very, very slowly, it looks like he's moving just by, you know, flexing his bum cheeks.
Animachine, son.
But yes, Zaratha gives $550 and says, he's purple, a prince, and his name is Rain. He's just the best ninja, because references. Salute.
That's really clever. I didn't actually know that the purple ninja in Mortal Kombat was named Rain because of Purple Rain.
And also, he's a prince.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I've suddenly remembered there's one fatality that Rain has in Mortal Kombat 11, I think, where he strikes a pose and then a picture of a bunch more ninjas appear behind him, laid out like the members of Queen in the Bohemian Rhapsody video. And I never got that. But now I'm thinking about it, if he is supposed to be like a pop music reference, then sure.
Yeah. Clever.
Seemed a bit, you know, tonally weird for something that happens just before someone gets hideously eviscerated.
Also, shout out to us still remembering that 07 is a salute. We've remembered several weeks in a row. So
I haven't been given a chance to forget about it.
We can still learn at our old ages.
Zaratha gives $220 and says, Marty forgot Dissidia FF exists. Smack my head.
I literally did forget that game existed. I want a Final Fantasy fighting game that is better than Dissidia. I want a good one.
Kamja Ninja gives $2 and says, Gang Beasts is the funniest, therefore best fighter. Okay, then.
Yeah, there's that whole genre of like goof, sort of like goof physics putty fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Zebra again comes back with $2 and says, can we just address Voldo for a second? I'd rather we didn't, Dr. Zebra. But it proves the point that there's something for everyone in terms of fighting game man action.
Yeah, the sicko's here. Voldo's a weird dude. Voldo's a very weird dude.
Yeah.
Shout out to Voldo.
Fill My Ass Up gives 50 Norwegian kroner and says, how do you feel about MK11 locking fatalities behind the loot boxes in the crypt?
Bad.
Well, I'm not too bothered by it because I can just go to YouTube and watch all the fatalities very nicely structured for me. I don't have to go through all the nonsense.
So, yeah, it's like, also, are you going to learn how to do the fatalities? Like, just show me the man good.
So none of that affects me, so I don't care.
Yeah.
That's life in the first world, I believe.
I'm trying to think of have fighting games, I mean, this might be an example of it, though, but have fighting games ever, like, succumbed to the, like, fucking garbage monetization discussion that's around, you know, every other genre, sports games and shooters?
I keep trying to bring it up every time a new NetherRealm fighter comes out and their fucking live service loot box bullshittery that all of their games have now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Street Fighter has that. Street Fighter, and it'll have like season passes with characters and stuff, but it doesn't seem like
Injustice 2 was lousy with it. Lousy, yeah. I say.
That's not good.
Scavenger gives $10 and says, one last point. It bothers me in fighting games when character stories don't matter. Bob is trying to win the prize to get medicine for a sick mother, but if they aren't the canon winner, they can F off. Well, we need never hear about that if we're playing as a different character, Scavenger. That's one of the things I admire about fighting games, is that you can take out any character, and in any other work, they would function as a protagonist.
Mm-hmm. It's also impossible to have a canon story where every character wins, unless you lean pure into the multiverse.
So maybe this is why fucking Sonic the Hedgehog doesn't work as a fighting game, because not every character is on equal footing in the world of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Some of them are just Sonic the Hedgehog, but they're pink.
Yeah. Or Sonic the Hedgehog and they're a large cat who loves fishing.
So why would you ever want to be anyone other than Sonic the Hedgehog in the Sonic the
Hedgehog? Big the Cat is wonderful. Big the Cat's great. Of course. He's got a fishing pole. He's got a friend named Froggy.
Tsunami Dusha gives $20 and says, "Greetings, gentlemen. I have always been a fan of SNK fighting games due to character designs and animations. From the art side of things, do either of you like characters for visuals or aesthetics alone? Have a pleasant day."
Guilty Gear. That's a perfect example.
Yeah, yeah, Guilty Gear. As I said, I know absolutely nothing about any of these characters except what they look like and how they act. And that's enough for me. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Having said that,
you make a cool character, and that's, I mean, isn't a lot of, like, when someone enters a fighting game, don't they usually gravitate towards a character they know or someone who's cool looking? Like, isn't that
what
a newbie
that's what I always really do. Just pick whoever looks cool. I always liked characters who's just normal dude but wearing a mysterious mask.
Ooh, like Vega.
Yeah. Or dude with the paper bag on his head.
Phantom of the Opera.
Cadmon Alima gives $5 and says, Kokonoe Mercury, love. Whatever what is that?
I'm going to Google it. Maybe I shouldn't Google it. Oh, it's a girl from BlazBlue.
Oh, of course.
She's an anime girl. Looks like she's got cat ears. Something for everyone.
Oh, of course they. Of course she does. I suppose she has a windscreen where she winks and holds up a V sign.
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't have image searched that. All right. Close that window. That got bad. The first couple levels were fine, and then I got down into the doldrums. And
you'll save that tab for later, I'm sure. Ooh. Alex Armstrong gives $2 and says, "Hope Nick plays Dark Souls 2 better than Yahtzee and Gabe. Salute." Oh yes, I noticed that we're going to need another goal to work towards on the streams.
We will. We'll think of something. Nick plays Dark Souls 2 twice.
Oh my goodness,
that sounds like a very bad goal.
Wesley Thomas gives $5.50 and says, "When you say newspaper comics fighting game, I imagine Buck Rogers getting eaten by Hobbs and Prince Valiant choking on Jeremy from Zitz's bong smoke." Prince Valiant, fucking hardcore. He'd be up there with Modesty Blaze in my newspaper comics fighting game.
There you go. You skipped so many comments. You just read the newest one.
Oh, shit. I think my chat jumped down to the bottom like it sometimes does.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I found all the other ones now.
We're on Big Bear, I believe.
Big Bear gives $5. Fucking chat browser. Semi-relevant. "I do truly love seeing the evolution of Yahtzee over the years. Not the animation, mind you, just him as a game critic. Thank you, Big Bear. I hope I will one day become a well-rounded human being."
You're aging like a fine wine.
Gives $4.99 and says, "I'm mad at how hard I laughed at Marty's Ludo Chris joke."
Yeah, see, how many $5 jokes did you have this stream?
I'm mad at you as well for that.
Don't worry.
King Dead 42 gives $2 and says, "Marty, up the wazoo is not how you use condoms." In reference to something we said a while back about
condoms. You can
condoms.
Use them up the wazoo. Depends
condoms
what you're doing.
Up the wazoo.
You can use them. You can use them however you
want. Hey, condoms are more than stopping babies. They're also good for preventing disease. So they're very handy to have when you're going up the wazoo.
Yeah. There's plenty of great anime like Condom Wing, Condom Witch from Mercury. A little condom joke for you guys.
Yeah, I saw what you were doing there.
Yeah, nailed it, crushed it.
Zaratha gives $220 and says, "And a tip for Marty's ludicrous wordplay. Salute." Man, everyone's jumping on this. And then Shantanu Bhatia gives $36.99 Arab Emirates dinar, I believe, or diran, one of those. "Ludicrous does actually derive from the Latin ludicrum, as in stage play. So Marty was accidentally smart there." Well,
look at that.
Only in a very, very tangential and shoot for the moon kind of way.
Hey, broken clocks. You know what to say about broken clocks?
They hurt if you fling them at someone's head.
They truly do.
Herb4NM gives 25 PLNs and says, "Talking about tournaments, let's not forget Nintendo being Nintendo, taking down Smash World Tour with a 250k prize pool."
Yeah, also Nintendo's with a Urban real, M real shit elite. When it comes to that. Urban M. That's easy.
I see. Was there a Smash like tournament with a $250,000 prize?
Yeah, and it was like a fan tournament, and Nintendo shut it down because Nintendo's insane.
I guess. I mean, it feels like that sort of prize is less enticing and more makes you sort of worried about the financial savvy of the organizers.
Nintendo also, so they shut the eShops down on like 3DS and Wii U, so you can't buy digital games anymore on the 3DS. After that, they released a firmware update just to update the firmware and get rid of a bunch of old hacks so it's harder to emulate on the 3DS. And I'm like, Nintendo won't let us legally buy things, but also don't want us to steal things.
Well, like, Nintendo, what are you doing? Again, 'twas ever thus with games publishers. Yeah.
Monsters.
Let's gripe about it some more. Maybe this time it'll actually change things.
I will. Thank you.
Alex Armstrong gives $2 and says, more like pseudo-narrative pissonance, am I right? Which I think is a joke I made ironically in a zero punctuation once, which Alex Armstrong has presented without the same context.
Crushed it. I like it.
And then we get to, Wesley Thomas's thing that I already read out. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I guess we're out of Super Chats.
Solve the problem this week? We never at the end figure out if we solved the problem of the episode.
I think we were just, the topic was just fighting games generally. And I got into it.
I don't think any episode we're trying to solve problems.
I mean, for someone who doesn't play fighting games, I certainly have a lot to say about them, apparently. And I also know a lot about them, like how there's a Les Miserables one.
And you're going to be playing Street Fighter VI. You're going to be jumping into that. We're seeing gameplay footage of Mortal Kombat 1 on Thursday. Blech. They've announced during Summer Game Fest.
I'm not that interested in that.
Of what? Of Mortal Kombat 1? Just because they've changed the story? You're upset?
Yes, I'm still upset. I mean, I haven't even gotten into the fact that they've called it Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
I mean, that was people have been doing that for a while now, but, you know, it was dumb even when the first dude did it.
I agree.
What are the other examples? There was Xbox One. There was Battlefield One.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, how are you going to differentiate it from talking about the original Mortal Kombat 1?
The same way we do God of War and Doom, poorly, and Prey. We there just differentiate go. Them poorly. Yeah.
We're just going to be sticking a year at the end of the title in parentheses.
I was about to say they should be like Madden, where they just have the year, but Madden will also sometimes, for the 25th anniversary, Madden did Madden 25, and so now it's like, well, what's Madden going to do in 2025 when you have to use 25 again? It's very confusing. I guess they
could.
Well,
you already said they could call it Madden 2025 as opposed to Madden 25.
I don't like this. People are going to think you're talking about Madden 2020 and Madden 2025. I also called it Madden at a certain point. Maybe that's something.
Madam.
Did you know they're making a Madden movie about John Madden and about the creation of the game Madden?
Is this a response to the Tetris movie?
Yeah, it's like a threat, I think.
It seems like there's this subgenre of films now that's just how a well-known product was invented.
Yeah, you know what they call them?
Capitalist scum films?
Biopics. B-Y. Biopics.
Oh, that's clever. Is that yours?
Yeah. No, I wish I would like to take credit, but no, it is not mine. Flaming Hot Cheetos movie.
Welcome to fucking late stage capitalism. Am I right?
We're in the end game. This is post game capitalism.
Yeah, this is like new game plus capitalism at this point.
Yeah, everything's dumb. Jerry Seinfeld's doing a Pop Tart movie. If you want to know about the creation of Pop Tarts,
the most I want to know about Pop Tarts is when is it going to go in my face.
The Nike movie was good, though. The Arab movie. I like that movie. That gets a thumbs up from me.
What a world that we live in.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive, as you say. Well, I guess we'll wrap things up then.
Heck yeah.
Shame, I was enjoying talking about the Miserable fighting games.
If you could have one other sort of classic work of literature or theater adapted into fighting game, what would it be?
I guess I just want a general League of Extraordinary Gentlemen style pulp fiction of the era fighting game crossover. So you could
just be a cool game as well. Like, yeah.
So Mr. Hyde could beat up Captain Nemo, and you could bring in the Count of Monte Cristo, who just shows up and pays everyone to go away.
Yeah.
And Horatio Hornblower could come in and get imposter syndrome and win.
Oh, poor Horatio.
All right. I guess that'll be it. One more. A winged potato gives $4.99 and says Popeye would make for a fun one.
A Popeye fighting him in the animation style of Cuphead. I could see that.
There you go. We could add him to the newspaper comics fighting game.
There's been rumors of a Disney fighting, like a Disney smash them up.
Didn't they?
Now that Disney owns all IP.
They got to have tried that at some point.
I don't think so. They did Disney Infinity. We got that Multiverses recently, which was the Warner Brothers one. We got a Nickelodeon one recently.
Yeah, is this a response to the Multiverses thing?
Maybe, but Multiverses is weird. Multiverses was a game that was out for a year.
Yeah, it's dead in early now, access, isn't it?
And then it's not dead. They removed it from early access, and then the game is coming out next year. And I've never seen that before, where a game is in early access for the better part of a year, and then gets completely removed, but not canceled. They're like, it's coming back next year. But I'm like, is it? What's going on here?
Well, clearly not going to cancel a money-generating concept like that. They could cross over with literally anyone in that.
There you go. The multiverse.
Cross over with Inspector Morse.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one. TV Detectives crossover fighting game. Columbo. Kojak.
Perry Mason.
Mason.
Yeah, Perry Mason. We have from Poker Face. Ooh, I can get behind this.
Jonathan Inspector Gadget. John Nettles from Midsommar Murders.
I like this.
Yeah. And then you like sort of play up the characters. So like give them all really sharp suits. Give them like visual characterization.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah, Ironside in like a motorized wheelchair.
Yeah.
Poirot.
That sounds so dumb. I love it.
This would work so well. Anyway, Dr. Zebra gives another super chat with $5 and says, Marty, when you say what a time to be alive, is that quoting Jasper from The Simpsons?
I don't think so. I don't know what it is. It is one of those like trigger phrases to where I say it and I don't realize how much I say it. It's a tick.
It's like me. It's like me and the word constantly. I noticed that recently. I tend to use the word constantly a lot in my reviews.
I think literally everyone has those. It's just they get pointed out on people who speak and talk extemporaneously and scripted on the internet.
Actually, the editor just like got sent back the first sweep on my next book, and they mentioned that I used the word slightly like 70 times.
You should think of something else.
Yeah, I need to think of something else. I need to think of slightly something else. Yes. Quite.
Yeah, I was trying to point in the direction of where the title is, and I don't know where it is.
I need something else that's slightly.
Fuck that one up.
I guess I'll be going through that with the thesaurus. Change one to moderately, and change one to in a minuscule fashion.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
What about Lil? Lil with an apostrophe.
Don't be so foul. Anyway. I guess we'll wrap it up quickly for any more super chats arrive. Thanks for watching stroke listening to slightly something else. We've got more shit coming up this week. We've got the Gollum zero punctuation on Wednesday. Tune in for that, and that's when the Darkest Dungeon 2 video will be dropping on YouTube at last for everyone. We skipped that so that Tears of the Kingdom could come out for everyone the same week.
But what are the depths if not the Darkest Dungeon in Tears of the Kingdom? I'll take my answer off there.
And then I've got a new extra punctuation for members dropping on Thursday. That will be on the subject of stall. Zelda. Yes, it's Zelda related.
I apologize. It is the best game ever. I was wrong.
No. It starts at Zelda and sort of tangents into a more general topic. Because, you know, Nick's keen to get them Zelda clicks in.
Listen, everyone's talking about Zelda. Don't blame this on Nick. Blame this on society. Okay. Blame this on the quality of game that Nintendo, the greatest corporation of all time, created for us.
So what else we got on the Escapist this week?
Holy Moses. Later today, Hidden Gems. The boys will be playing The Messenger from a few years ago. Played that one.
I remember that. That's quite fun, that game.
And that team is doing the upcoming CS Stars. Highly highly anticipated sort of throwback to the 16-bit era of JRPGs coming
how very nice.
So look at us. And then we'll have some slightly tweaks to our streaming schedule this week, because on Thursday we're going to be doing our big watch along to Summer Game Fest Live and Day of the Devs and the Devolver Showcase. We'll probably go live, so we won't do our normal Thursday streams. So no Half-Life, which we finished Half-Life 2, by the way, great ending. I bet they're gonna explain everything from that cliffhanger.
People were kind of disappointed by that ending originally, but then like episode 1 and 2 came out, and now that we've just been in a sort of permanent state of disappointment,
they're just disappointed by the second episode 2 now.
Yeah, because they ends on a cliffhanger, but they never followed it up.
Then Alex came out and they
sort of followed it up in Half-Life Alyx, but in a sort of, you know, cop-outy kind of way.
Yeah, very very strange. So Thursday we should be going live around 1:30 p.m. Central, and be live for several hours doing Summer Game Fest and Day of the Devs and Devolver. And then same thing on Sunday, we'll be live for starting at about 11:30 a.m. with Xbox and Bethesda and Starfield. And then next week, something else will probably be a little later on in the day, because at this very time next week will be the Ubisoft showcase. Oh. So we'll probably end up doing slightly something else at the like normal ZP post CP slot, but still on Monday. So probably 3 p.m. or so.
Again, I'm being shunted for showcases.
The future of video games, but we'll be talking about them, so we need all the fuel we can get.
Okay,
and also wanted to put on everyone's radar that we have an exclusive set of Adventurous Nigh themed dice from our friends at Dice Envy that will be coming next week in limited quantity, in sort of the colors and iconography of the four main characters, and so we'll have more to say on that soon, but just keep an eye out if you want Adventurous Nigh dice. It might be coming next week.
Very limited, the way I heard it.
Yeah.
Better get in.
You have to fight people.
Better get in quick.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it. Then thanks to everyone who supports us on Patreon, of course. And that $5 tier is what you're gonna want to be going forward, because that is how you avoid all sponsorships going forward and soon get the website ad free. So
hop on. There you go. Well, I guess that'll be it from us for now. Mm-hmm. See you all next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Toffee says bye-bye. Toffee starts getting excited because he's reading the signs.
Oh, Toffee knows it's time to leave.